Mike, you forgot to give me the cue to get up during the last verse of that song. Before I introduce our speaker today, I have a special announcement that I've been asked to give to you. For 2 weeks, we had a family visiting with us from out of town, Beverly and Kenneth Morris. And when I found out that they had been here for 2 weeks and they had a son in the hospital, I wrote them an email and I said, I hope to meet you if you're in Galveston this Sunday, that I had been away for a couple of weeks. And I received an email back, and Kenneth asked me to share this with you. He says, my wife Beverly and I visited Broadway Church the past 2 Sundays while our son Michael was in ICU at UTMB. Our son was residing at Tideway Traumatic Brain Injury Facility in Galveston after suffering a 3-story fall in 1984. Recently, he suffered a seizure and 12 minutes of cardiac arrest. Even with all the medical attention and support, our son passed away this past Wednesday night. Please express to the congregation our appreciation for their prayers and support for us and our son during a most difficult time. And I thought of what a ministry we have, and one reason we encourage all of us to welcome our visitors is you never know what pain or sorrow or joy or happiness those visitors are bringing to our service. And evidently the welcome that you gave the Morris family while they were here for 2 weeks was very helpful to them in what they faced. And can you imagine facing the trial that they went through since 1984 when their son was so severely injured? They wanted me to share that with you, and I wanted to. And Joe's already welcomed our visitors, and we especially feel very happy that you're with us, and we hope that this service provides you the encouragement that you need for your life. So glad that Reginald is here today. I always sing better when Reginald is here, but he left the pew between us. So Reginald, next time it's the second row, not the third row. I had such a delightful evening last night visiting with our speaker, Miguel Zuniga, and his wife, Hope, who are with us. As Joe said, we have supported the Zunigas after meeting them in, I guess it would be 2009, when they were here because their son, Sam, was in the hospital at the time with severe medical problems. And we have supported him in all of his mission efforts. And the surprising thing was that Miguel and I met each other actually when he was a teenager and I was just barely out of being a teenager. My first work in church work was in Carlsbad, New Mexico, where his father was the minister of the Hispanic congregation. I was 21 and he must have been about 15. And I had more in common with him than I did with his father because of the age. We enjoyed being with each other last night and in reviewing his ministry and all the places he's been. And the fact that we had so many mutual friends in the ministry over the years was just such a delight. At the present time, we are helping support Miguel in his work in San Angelo. And he's assisting 2 small churches in the San Angelo area, the Northside Church and the Westside Church, both small congregations that are relying on his leadership and teaching to help them survive. In addition to his preaching ministry and teaching ministry, he has for the last few years been an instructor in the Southwestern Bible Institute, which is a program designed to formally teach the Bible and related subjects. He teaches the courses in Spanish, and they have courses in English as well. The last 2 years, his classes have always been the largest number in attendance, and so that speaks to his abilities as a teacher. What is most unusual is that he was recently asked to be on the Board of Trustees of the Southwestern Bible Institute. It's rare for a faculty member to suddenly be asked to be on the Board of Trustees. That distinction is usually reserved for wealthy people, and I don't think Michael Zuniga fits that classification, but his leadership in spirituality is what attracted the leaders of that school to ask him to be on the Board of Trustees. It's been a while since he's preached for us, and we're so happy that Hope is with him. I asked, where did you meet Hope? And it was a familiar story. He said his father moved from Carlsbad to Plainview, Texas to preach, and her parents were strong members of the church in Plainview, and so, of course, the preacher's son met the elder's daughter, and what happened next is they got married. But Hope has been a real help to him and is a help now in his ministry. I hope that you will give full attention to Miguel. And after the service, Miguel, I want you and Hope to go to the back, and so everybody can meet you and visit with you for a few minutes. Miguel Zuniga.
This opportunity has long been in the making, and this is after 4 years of being absent due to some serious medical issues that our son had kept us from coming and being with you. Our son has recently gone home, and this is the first time for us to be back since then. And I know that some of you have lost loved ones here recently. Please know that we fully understand. We can relate with you. The greatest thing that we have going for all of us is the hope that we have, the trust that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, and what he has to offer is extremely great, and we rely and are truly convinced that the reward after living a life here on this earth, the struggles, the imperfections, everything that goes with this life has been made right with him. And so we're grateful. If you have your Bibles, or if you don't, or maybe you might have your electronic devices. And I'd invite you to the book of Acts, chapter 14, starting with verse 26 and reading through 28. In the NIV version of the Bible, we have the following, and I'd like for you to read along with me. Starting with verse 26, from Attalia they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles, and they stayed there a long time with the disciples, is the narrative that Luke, the writer, gives of Paul's ministry. It is at the conclusion of the first journey, missionary journey, that they go back to Antioch where they got started. And it says that it was a special occasion that the church was called to come together to listen to the report that the Apostle Paul and that Barnabas had to give to the church. And the report included several things with which God had blessed the ministry and the work and the commitment of both Paul and Barnabas. And I can just envision, I have an imagination, I'm sure you do too. Have a great imagination. I can envision the church coming together after maybe a little over a year absence from seeing Paul and Barnabas, to get to see them again and to interact with them and to tell them and ask them questions about things and the ministry that they had. And so the Bible says here, or Luke is so attentive in bearing this out, that that's what they would do. And so Paul, I'm sure, told him about some open doors, the open doors that God had granted them in their throughout their travel. And with that, I would like to give you a brief report and tell you of some of the open doors that God has granted us, both Hope and myself, as we've done ministry in San Angelo. Now, San Angelo does have very good and strong churches. It does. However, in the area where we're at is the northern part of the city. And there are two small churches out there. And one of those two is the Northside Church where we're at. And so we've concentrated to do ministry on the northern part of the city. And so I think everybody loves stories. And so I'll share one or two stories of some people that we've came across. I'm reminded of a passage also, and you're familiar with it. And those of us that are parents, I can immediately relate with it. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, the writer would write to the people of faith of the day, of his day, start children off on the way they should go. And even when they are old, they will not turn from it. But there's a gap from being a child and becoming an adult. There's a humongous gap. And in that gap, what am I going to tell you you don't know about your children, our children, and what happens in that gap? Well, that's true. However, the writer says that when they settle down and when they, our children, are settling down and rethinking things about what you did for them to start them off, they remember. They remember Mom, they remember Dad, and they remember the efforts that you made, that you would make in teaching them the way of the Lord. And so, with that, let me share a story. It actually happened. This man, probably I remember now, he is in his late 40s. He calls me and he says, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "I do remember you." And he said, "I've got an issue that I would like for you to help us out with. I have a stepdaughter, and my stepdaughter is agnostic. And she is veering away from matters of faith. In fact, she did not grow up knowing what I grew up. The last time that I spoke with this man, he was about 5 or 6 years old. And then there was this gap. And now he is in his mid to late 40s. And now he's got a problem with his own daughter. And she is a seeker. And so she is finding all the reasons why there seems to be apparent discrepancies in the writings of the Bible. And some of the teachings of the Bible do not coincide with the science findings of the day. And so that is the issue. So he's worried for his daughter, or stepdaughter. And but then he tells me, "I don't know if you know this, but I haven't gone to church in many, many years." And I said, "I know that. And I'm sorry. And we will do what we can to help you and your daughter." Set up a time that we got together and opened the Bible, and she, young girl in her 20s, bright mind, alert, energetic, and she says, "I've got a lot of questions to ask you." I said, "I don't know that I can answer them, but I believe that we have a foundation that we can go to try to answer your questions." And so we did. We started off, and about 90 days after, I had the opportunity to baptize her. So she was baptized. And what do you think that the stepfather was doing? Shedding tears. And he came to me and he said, "I'm so happy." And he said, you've really helped us out. And I'd like to see if I can get back." And I said, "I will encourage you and do anything and everything I can to make it happen." And so we've had Bible studies. This coming February will be a year ago. And would you know that pretty much every week since she was baptized, February passed, we've been having Bible studies with her. evolution, science, Gnosticism, or agnosticism rather. We've studied, and she is very, very strong. And I told Hope, you know what's happening here? Something that we should have done with all the members. You don't just baptize people and let them go on their way. You don't do that. What you do is you stay with them. And you know, we had many a meals, many hamburgers or special meals. And she loves Mexican food. I don't know why, but she does. And Hope is the cook. So that kind of tells you something. Anyway, and so she told us, because she's helping take care of the house while we're gone, she says, you have been a blessing that I have never thought I would have. And she's very, very strong. Her stepfather told me here recently that she took on a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses or people that came to the door. And she was very strong and very convinced and very convicted. One thing I stressed to her, don't argue with them. Show your heart. Show your knowledge of God's word. And let it do the sowing. You sow the seed and let it germinate, let it grow. And she said, it was wonderful. We had a rich time together. Her stepfather is coming back to church. And he is doing very, very well. And he's also asking a lot of questions, and he says, why do we not stay with the plan, you know, of being faithful? Well, maybe you didn't have the help that you should have had, but the God that loved you back then is the same God today. He still loves you. He never gave up on you. Who do you think has opened the door for you and for us? So these are some of the things that we've done there in San Angelo. I'm pretty well versed in Spanish. I am a true bilingual Hispanic. I'm of Mexican origin. Real proud of that. And I'm strongly convicted in what we are doing. And so this place that the school in which I am preaching, actually teaching classes, are non-denominational. So we don't have to go there. All we need to do is search the scriptures. That's all we have to do. Sometimes they'll ask me questions that has other persuasion. I said, I don't know where that comes. I do know, but I just tell them, I don't know where that comes from. But I can tell you what the scriptures have to say about it. And so we discuss it. And what that has done is open some doors with people that are believers. They are seekers, and they want to know more about the Bible. I have taught in Spanish some classes on archaeology, on Bible interpretation, hermeneutics. I've studied with them on the Gospels and other matters that I feel will help them to best better understand the Bible. So the Southwest Bible Institute has been in existence for close to 40 years in San Angelo. Very few people know about it. It is, as Alan said last night, one of the best kept secrets of the work in San Angelo. And with me teaching classes in Spanish, it is drawing folk to come and to know and to listen and to question. And it is the first time in some 38, 35 years that it has ever been done. And let me give you what I think is also of encouragement to you. And that is that our classes, Spanish speaking or Spanish language classes, are the most numeric. I have the most students of the classes of that institute. There are some English classes, and we are double the amount of students that come to our classes. So we're real proud of that. At Northside, and maybe because I'm already one of them, gray hair, a lot of gray hair. And our brethren are of the, I don't know if you're familiar with the term, non-Bible class churches background. So they don't have young people. They don't have children. They're all gray heads or silver heads. And, or maybe no hair at all. But at any rate, we're doing what we can with that work. I am also preaching at West Angelo Church of Christ. It's a small church, also made up of brethren that come from the non-Bible class persuasion. They know that I'm not, I believe that we should have classes for kids, for young adults, for middle-aged folk, and for silver-haired folk. I believe in that system. And so it's going good. West Angelo is a good church. It's a kind church. It's a very loving church. Well, it's like Broadway. That's what it is. You are that way. I have also been invited to speak at other churches of Christ. The Spanish churches come together once a month for sing songs, and then they'll get to have someone speak. And they've asked me to do that. Spanish speaking Iglesias de Cristo, or Churches of Christ, Sweetwater, Snyder, Colorado City, Abilene, Big Spring, Midland, San Angelo, Converge. And we have a great time. And with singing, great fellowship. And I get to speak every now and then to this group and encourage the unity of the body of Christ among them. These, I am just so overwhelmed because you've made it possible for us to do that. You are an active part. You are very much an active part. And we're thankful for you. Some of you, have been aware of some of the challenges that we've had. It's been hard. I was telling both Mikey and Alan that in the last 4 years, we've lost two sons. I've had open heart surgery. About 5 months ago, I had to have a stent placed in front of my heart. And yet here I am by God's good grace and because of your prayers. Your prayers actually do make a difference. Please continue with that. I'll close with these thoughts. As the Apostle Paul makes this statement in the Amplified Bible version. He says the following: Now, may the Lord of peace himself always grant you his peace, and in every way, that peace and spiritual well-being that comes to those who walk with him, listen, regardless of life's circumstances. The Lord be with you all. And that's how he closed out also in one of his writings. And so I'm grateful for the privilege of this moment. This has been a great blessing to me. And you are more dearer to us than you possibly might understand. You mean a lot to us. Thank you for your support, your words of encouragement, and for being God's people wherever you go. Thank you. We are going to be doing an invitation. I'm not very familiar with this group. I know some of you, but I don't know all of you. And I don't know if you have come to Jesus. He has extended an invitation. And his invitation is, come unto me, all ye who are heavily laden, and I'll give you rest. He's still offering. That invitation is still good from the day that it was first written in the Gospel of Matthew to this very second. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come and let us be of blessing to you. Let us help you in whatever way. If you're needing to be immersed for the remission of your sins, what a way to start a new life. Or if you veered like my friend did, come back. The doors are open still. As together we stand.